Well, you have to hand it to John the Baptist. He certainly knows how to get one's attention. A crowd has followed John out to the River Jordan, waiting with anticipation to be inspired by his teaching. And so John looks them in the eye and says, "You brood of vipers." Pause for just a minute and think about that. How do you think the good people of Christ Church Cathedral would respond if I stepped into the pulpit next Sunday morning and launched into a sermon by hurling insults? I might end up with my head on the chopping block, which is actually exactly what happens to John the Baptist. "You brood of vipers," he begins. And then he warns the crowd that they can't claim safety from God behind their Jewish pedigree. God cares nothing for your street address, or your job title, your club membership, your race, your nationality. God can cut one person down and raise another up without blinking, and God will do it too. Even now, John says, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Those are John's words, not mine. And they certainly get the crowd's attention. These people have walked from town and across the countryside to be inspired by John. They've come yearning. Maybe some of us have come yearning for a life-giving word. And instead, it's like they've been put on notice. Now the people are scared. "What then should we do?" they ask John. And one senses that they fear he will ask from them the impossible. Their faults run so deep. Their sins are so abundant. I mean, they're a brood of vipers, after all. And then John the Baptist drops the bomb. "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. Whoever has food must do likewise." To the tax collectors, he says, "Collect no more taxes than the amount prescribed to you." And to soldiers, he says, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." Oh, the horror. The burden. The heavy load John asks of them, asks us to bear. But wait, what exactly is John asking? What, says John, makes the difference between the viper and the penitent? And by extension, what is it that God asks of us, you and me? Let's look again at the essence of what John is saying. One, if you have more than you need, and there is another whose needs are not met, help him. Number two, do not cheat in your work, or for that matter, in your life. Number three, if your work puts you in contact with those who are vulnerable, don't use your power or authority to take advantage of them. They depend on you. And four, tell the truth. And the gospel passage ends by saying, "So with many other exhortations, John proclaimed the good news to the people." And so we, like the crowd, slowly begin to realize just how good that good news is. Through John, God is not exhorting us to be superhuman. God is asking us merely and blessedly to be human. On the surface, it seems to be so simple, and yet we know that it is not. Ours is a culture that has long been one of aspiration and ambition and self-sufficiency. And in more recent years, it's increasingly also become a culture of individual isolation. Ironically, made more so by the very technology and social media that intend to connect us. Attendance at high school and college reunions, for instance, has dropped. Civic clubs, remember Rotary, Kiwanis? They face a crisis due to a 60% decrease in membership. The researcher Robert Putnam called this phenomenon not too many years ago, bowling alone. And it points to the ways in which we increasingly walk through this world avoiding relationships rather than seeking them out and nurturing them. These passive realities, they were challenging enough before our current political ethos of fear, in which we are actively encouraged to disregard or malign. We're increasingly actually act out against our human sisters and brothers. Be human, John says. Recognize your shared humanity with those around you. And that includes, of course, your shared origin in God, whose very image is stamped upon each and every one of God's children. John is telling us to connect with those we love and with those we don't. Be fair. Seek understanding. Repair injustice. Extend a helping hand. Be human. That's all God commands, I suspect, because our track record demonstrates that being human, that's challenging enough. So it is that what John, in his raucous preaching style, began with fear and apprehension, culminates in joy. Luke tells us that the people ultimately are filled not with fear, but with expectation, because they recognize that John's exhortation is really an invitation to be what God has created us to be. In the end, John's message is not only a call to repentance, it's a call to advent, to new birth, to a way of being in which God's presence within each of us finds expression through us as we reach out and connect and form relationships of grace and care with one another. Bound to be at least two or three church nerds in the congregation. Actually, I see two or three church nerds in the congregation. So I'll just tell the rest of you. For over 1,000 years, this Sunday, the third Sunday in Advent, has been called in the church Gaudete Sunday. It's marked by that rose candle in the midst of the purple or blue serum. Gaudete is the Latin word that means rejoice. And the lectionary today takes care to tether the gospel passages with Zephaniah that Doreen read, and also from Philippians that we're not reading tonight. It tethers today's Brood of Vipers gospel with those two readings, because both of those readings are all about lightening our hearts, to encourage us in faith, to assure us that God loves us, loves you and me, deeply and ceaselessly and without condition. So we have to balance John's opening words, his brood of vipers talk, and his threats to cut the tree off at its roots, with the words of the prophet and the words of Paul. Rejoice, says Zephaniah. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. God will rejoice over you with gladness. God will renew you in his love. God will exult over you with loud singing as on the day of a festival. Rejoice, says Paul, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Can you feel him? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We rejoice because God, the God who will arrive in 9 short days in Jesus, approaches us not in condemnation and not sowing fear, but as a human being. God does in Jesus exactly what John today is asking us to do. God shares our humanity. God rejoices in our humanity. God imbues our humanity with God's own image. And most essentially, God invites us to embrace our humanity. And that means in this season of Advent, embracing the humanity of others, all others, in thought, in word, and most importantly, in deed. Amen.